you know, all of us are here today because we believe in God. And I know that's so important. You know, today it's National Comeback to Church Day. I just heard that on the Christian radio station. It said the 21st, I guess every year they do, come back to church, you know. And we want you to come back, but then also stay. You know, come back all year, you know. And I know God wants that. And those are his desires. And I'm going to start with Psalm 100. Psalm 100, I'm going to read all five verses. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, what a wonderful passage. I'm gonna turn to the Book of Mormon. And I'll ask again, why should we serve the Lord with gladness? You know, why should we do that? You know, and I know it says it in there, you know, it's pleasing unto him. You know, we need to serve him. We need to have that joy in our hearts. We need to have that love for one another. And I know, as I said at the first, that, you know, we're here because we believe in God. But let's go a little farther than that. And I'm gonna turn to one of my favorite passages on page 220 of, actually, I have a verse in front of it. I'm gonna turn to John 3:16, which we all know this. 3:16 through 18. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth on not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And now I'm going to turn to page 220, the book of Mosiah. And I'm going to start with 9. It says, it's on page 220, second chapter of Mosiah. It says, I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. And then it says, believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. And there it is, you know, so I said, you know, we believe, we're here because we believe. But it goes farther than that, and it's going to keep going here. You know, we just can't say we believe, but we have to have that faith. We have to have that faith, we need to have that trust, and we have that confidence that God will bless us, that God is in our lives. He wants to He wants us to seek him. He wants us to seek him, and he wants us to have that faith that is so important. So I'll continue. I'll go ahead back to 13. It says, believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them. Humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. You know, so important. See that we do them. You know, we know what to do, but let's do them. It says, and again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as I have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God, your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on his name, the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice, be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. You know, so important. You know, here it is, this passage. I could sit down now because it's all there. It's all there. How we should be in our life. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You know, so important. You know, God wants us to have that faith. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to have that confidence. And I know each one of us here have had different trials. We've had different things we've had to go through. And, you know, you think of just what we know, you know, and of man, you know, and it can put fear. It can put fear in our hearts and worry. But we must have that faith. He wants us to have that faith. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to trust in him. You know, I'll keep glorifying God. And through my trials this last year, he's blessed me. Blessed me so. And he's given me that testimony that I can tell to others. He's given me that avenue. I was in a school last year. The first 2 years I was in a different school, and this year I moved to. I asked to move to a closer school to my house, and it's actually a full elementary school. My other one was only early childhood, and I had a supportive group of teachers that were always praying for me, always praying for me, always. Always showing that love and kindness. And I moved to this school, and I still have that. I have a broader range. I have more teachers that are supporting me, more people that I can glorify God and tell them my story and tell them of his goodness and tell him of the blessings, you know, and the power of prayer, the power of the saints. And, you know, I can tell... Even though I'm a talker, I'm a little shy when I'm with different people. And this way, it's given me that avenue to glorify God. The very first of school, we have a convocation, which is, it's the beginning, all the teachers come, and it's at the RLDS Auditorium, or the Community of Christ Auditorium. And I came on Wednesday night, I put up cones to save for, because my daughter, my son-in-law, my wife were all teachers, so I had four cones saving the spots. And so I get out of my car, and the PE teacher at my school saw me there, and he's like, "Oh, wow, you must have, you know, something here that you get." And I said, "Well, I'm the pastor here." And he said, "Oh, wow," you know, and we went on. Well, after that, every person in the school knows that I'm the pastor at the church. No, and that's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing in that would I have went around and said, you know, "I go to church, I'm the pastor," would it have came up in conversation? But, you know, I had people come in and say, "I heard you're a pastor of a church." I heard my assistant, she said, "Oh, I better watch what I say." Because, you know, and she started thinking, what had she been saying? And she didn't, you know, I look with everybody in that love. You know, when people, you know, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's, you know, maybe that thing of, you know, it's not that, you know, maybe she'll watch what she says. Maybe people will think what they're saying, you know, and not just, but, and maybe they will, it's that thing that will help them to come and worship, you know, in whatever way. But, you know, it's that thought, and it's that way that as we can testify of the goodness of God, and he has blessed us. I know he's blessed Dan, he's blessed so many people, and we just praise his name. You know, and we have to look in that faith. I had a scan a couple weeks ago, and I had been sick right before it, and so one little thing looked a little funny, but they said it's probably because I had been sick the day before. You know, as man, we look at things and we worry, you know, but we can't. We look to God. We look to God for that strength. We must go in faith believing. And so I'm going to talk here on faith. Well, let's first, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this is trusting in the Lord. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Added that one there, but it's a good one there. You know, trust in the Lord. And so now I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11, which is the faith chapter. And normally I read just the first six verses, but I'm going to read more today because in this chapter, it goes through all the faith in all the Bible stories that we've heard. And there's a few that it doesn't mention. You know, it doesn't mention, I don't think, David and Goliath. It doesn't mention Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fiery furnace. You know, what faith all these people had, which show us that strong faith. And so I'm going to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to start with one. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And then verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And, you know, so important. You know, God wants us to come to him. He wants us to seek him. He wants to hear our voice. He wants to hear our testimonies. 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of the house, by to the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. You know, they went in this faith, not knowing the outcome, not knowing, you know, going out and could have been in fear, not, it's the unknown, but they followed the Lord. It says, for he looked, oh no, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him is as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So I asked, I was going to keep reading, but there's just so many, and these verses are a little, they're not coming out of my mouth too good. So I think we can continue reading, read through 30, or read the whole chapter. You know, when you get home, read that whole chapter, because it just goes on and on of the faith of everybody. You know, it's telling these stories through the Bible, and that faith, and how we must have that faith. We must have that trust. We must have that confidence that God will bless us. You know, and sometimes we might feel that we're not receiving the blessings, but continue. He wants us to continue and look for those small blessings. Look for those big blessings. You know, he blesses us so. And he is worthy of praise. He is worthy to seek. You know, and as we hear of somebody in need, pray to God. He wants to hear all of us. He wants to hear us seek him so that he can bless. And that, so there's a testimony. You know, we will hear these testimonies. I'm going to turn to Alma 16, which is on prayer, page 429. Okay, and I'm going to start with 218. So Alma 16, Alma chapter 16, 218. It says, therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, and that you begin to call on his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. He wants to hear our voice. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you're in your fields, yea, over your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. You know, we have a weekly prayer list in the back, and I bet, I'm hoping by the time I get back there, since I'm so far up here, that there'll be a whole list of people that we need, or blessings. Let's say we don't have anybody to pray for, but there's a blessing you know of. Put it on that list. You know, take a picture of that list. This week, pray for these people. Pray for these people. You know, and God, you know, wants us to seek him in all things. And I hope, I'm going to mention my son-in-law, Tony, here. He had a health issue on Friday. And he had asked me to come over and minister to him. And he was in a lot of pain. And the next morning, they call me, and he said I was administered to, and God blessed me. You know, what a blessing. What a blessing that, you know, there's that avenue we have of administration. And that, and God wants us to use that avenue. You know, when we're in need, when we have troubles, when we have sicknesses, he wants us to seek him. He wants us to be administered to. He wants to hear our cry. And let's turn to Jeremiah 29. So Jeremiah 29, and I'm going to start with verse 11, 11 through 13, a short reading here, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." You know, have him in your heart. Have him foremost first. You know, we have busy lives. We have work. We have family things. We have busy lives. But have God at the top. You know, and ask him every day. Ask him for that guidance. Ask him to, you know, start the morning and say, "God, please be with me. Let me serve you." You know, and it will put that outlook in our minds that we have God in our first thoughts. Okay, let's turn to 3 Nephi, and it's on page 651, chapter 8. And I'm going to start with 47, and it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil. And ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you." And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believe that it shall receive, ye shall receive. Behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families and to the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft. Ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they should come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and ye shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, for hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. You know, as we hold up that light, you know, we're serving our God. You know, the title of my sermon, Serve the Lord with Gladness. You know, God has given us that example, and we need to follow that example. We need to shine that light, shine his love, do those things that are pleasing unto him. Let's turn to page 766. It's Moroni chapter 7. Okay, Moroni chapter 7. I'm going to start with verse 35. And it says, and Christ hath said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me that ye may be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, if this is the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with the power and great glory at the last day, that they are true, and if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased? Or hath angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof, be saved? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief. And all is vain, for no man can be saved, according to the word of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then hath faith ceased also. And awful is the state of man, for they are as though there had been no redemption made. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you. For I judge that if ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness, for if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. You know, right with faith, then we have hope. We have hope. And it says, how is it that we can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection and be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope, and without faith, there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly of heart, confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For charity, if he For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity. You know, we hear of so much iniquity in the world, and let's not rejoice in iniquity, but we must cleave unto the beliefs of God. It says, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you're nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. Do we have that in our heart? Are we displaying that in our lives? And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which hath been bestowed upon all who are true followers of the Son of Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. So faith, hope, and charity, the pure love of Christ. Are we displaying that in our lives? Are we, when someone sees us, do they see that love? Do they see that excitement? Do they see that true concern that we should have for each other? Okay, I want to turn to Colossians 3. So Colossians 3, I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, what's that? Is that okay? And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Put these things off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And then here's how we should be. Put on, therefore, as an elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness. We must be humble to our God. We must be a humble people. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know, if we ask him every day to be with us, you know, he will dwell with us. He will dwell with us and help us have that love for each other. And it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. No, and we must thank God. We must thank him, give him thanks, testify of his goodness. You know, think of the things in our lives and think of the blessings. Think of the blessings of our families and how he blesses us every day. You know, there's small blessings, there's big blessings. But thank him. You know, we should serve our Lord by serving each other. And Deuteronomy 13:4 says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." You know, we have an opportunity. You know, serving the Lord, you know, this Tuesday is the church business meeting. You know, and as we, and it says when we serve each other, we're serving our God. And it's so important that we build our church strong, that we have lots of committees, we have lots of different things. We have pastor, somebody wants to be pastor, assistant pastors, treasurer, many things that we can do. But come Tuesday night, ready to serve. And if there's something that you want to, talk to somebody and have them nominate you. Because a lot of times we don't know who wants to do what, you know, so we put the same people in. So I ask that, you know, we have that opportunity. We have that opportunity to build our church even stronger, to strengthen our body so that we can learn and we can, it's so many times that, you know, each one of us, I love to see everybody here today. You know, maybe, you know, Charity had something to say or that smile for somebody else, you know. Maybe something that we say, we can't, you know, what good am I here? You know, if we come and just having that fellowship and that love for one another, we can, it's that important. And on Tuesday, please come. Let's fill the church. Our business meetings are usually a small group of people. You know, come. You're a member, come. Vote. Let's build our church strong and continue with that foundation of our Lord. You know, build it. We want to build it on God, and we want his Spirit to lead us. But we need each person to have that excitement. Serve the Lord with gladness. So please come Tuesday night. Okay, now I'll get back to my sermon here. Let's turn to Mosiah, page 212. Mosiah, page 212, and I just two verses. It's Mosiah 1, and it's 48 and 49. It says, "Behold, I say unto you that because I said this unto you, that I had spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God." You know, so the things we do on earth, you know, is to glorify God. You know, and as we serve each other, as we have that kindness, as we desire to work in the church and build it where more people come, more and more come, that want to worship God, you know, and how important it is that we're in that service of God, you know. So I skipped around. I'm going to read again Psalm 100 and those verses, which is on serving the Lord with gladness. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And then I want to read one verse on page 225, and it's Mosiah 3, verse 21. It says, therefore I would that ye should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. And I have one more verse here. And it just so happens on Friday night, we had the girls over, and we took my dad with us. We went out to eat, and my dad and Blakely and Macy all love Pizza Ranch. And they all like different things. My dad likes mashed potatoes and all the stuff on there, the chicken and everything on there, and the ice cream. And Blakely is a fried chicken eater. Chicken is her favorite. Chicken legs, she loves it. Macy loves the pasta and the sauce. You know, they each have their special thing there. And so I was there. I wasn't at the table a lot because I was trying to. It's hard to get chicken legs because they go fast, you know, when they bring out that chicken. So I'm standing up there because I want Blakely to get what she's. And Becky's going, you have not been at the table tonight. And it's like, well, I'm up there waiting for the chicken legs. You know, I want to please my granddaughter. Here she is. It's her favorite food. And I was up there and I look on the wall. So Pizza Ranch is, I don't know, the owner must be, is religious based. And he, so you hear religious music as you're sitting there eating, you know, it's, you know, contemporary music, but it's religious music. And so I knew that, and they have coffee there that they give so much to somewhere. But I'm standing there, and I've probably been in there 15 times in my life. But because I'm waiting for this chicken, I look on the wall, and there's this Bible verse on the wall. And I had never seen it on the wall. And you know, sometimes when I'll hear a Bible verse, and I'll say, oh, that's a really good one. And then I'll go home and I'll look it up in the King James Version, and it doesn't have the same meaning. It doesn't have, you know, it's not even, it's been interpreted a different way. So I see this verse on the wall and I thought, oh, that's a really good verse. But when I look it up, I bet it will be doctored up. And it wasn't. So I'm going to finish with this verse, but this verse, and you know, I know so many verses in the Bible, but this one really hadn't stood out to me before. So we can be anywhere, and the Lord can speak to us, show us things. You know, and here I am standing there waiting for chicken, and this verse is there. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all in the glory of God. Do all in the glory of God. So in our lives, serve the Lord with gladness. Do all for the glory of God. You know, I thought this was, when it said eat or drink, I thought, oh, they just added these words in there. But no, this is the verse. So again, serve the Lord with gladness and do all to the glory of God. So I thank you.